Thank you, brother. If you would this morning, open your Bibles again to the book of Isaiah, chapter 59. Isaiah 59. I trust you'll follow along with us. Give full attention to the Word of God as we continue our study and as we continue our worship to God Almighty. We're living at a time, I believe, only as we look back will realize the significance of this day and time. Truly a pivotal period of time in world history. We were told the war was over after more than a decade of fighting. Unfortunately, nobody told the enemy. So now we're engaged once again, facing a dangerous enemy of ISIS and all their fellow travelers. We're also facing deadly and dangerous viruses. We're facing also an invasion of young people from South America, bringing with them who knows what. We have the stock market, which is decidedly wobbly at this time, and we have national elections around the corner. It's a time of great uncertainty. Indeed, by experience, we know that peace is indeed elusive. But there are some facts that may or may not surprise you. There's a group in Australia which publishes the World Peace Index, I believe, every year. The last peace index I saw as a gauge and identify 114 countries. Who's the most peaceable? Well, the most peaceable they identified as being New Zealand, followed by Denmark, Iceland, and even Austria, right up there at the top. Where's the USA? Pretty close to the bottom, number 83. We don't rank very high when it comes to the matter of peace. But here's another quote, as you observe. We are living in what is likely the most peaceable era of our species existence. Our species, that's you and me, in human history. The most peaceable era of our history. Now, the fellow who wrote this obviously knows what he's doing. He's a Pulitzer Prize winning author. He's also an instructor, professor of psychology at Harvard. He himself said, this may sound rather like hallucination or obscene, but when you gauge the wars of past times, Middle Ages and even First World War and so forth, there's not as many people killed in wars these days as there once were. So this, he says, is most likely the most peaceable era of all our species' history. And then you wonder, is this as good as it's going to get? So observe here, book of Isaiah, chapter 59. And again, you observe the elusive nature of peace. In spite of man's best effort, you observe in Isaiah 59, verse 8, they do not know the way of peace. The idea of knowing, do not know, is to recognize by observation and recognize also by experience. They do not know the way of peace, speaking of those of his day and time. If they didn't know the way of peace, what do they know? In verse 8, what they do know are the paths that they themselves have made crooked. They have made their paths crooked, that is, twisted, perverse, perverted. Don't know the way of peace. The only thing they know by experience are the paths that they themselves have messed up. And so you observe, as Isaiah identifies, as Ted read for us, from verse 3, your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken falsehood, your tongue mutters wickedness. No one sues righteously, no one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. And in verse 6, their works are the works of iniquity. The act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They hasten to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Devastation and destruction are in their highways. They do not know the way of peace. It sums up. Here are individuals who are living as if there is no God. God doesn't figure in their plans and their way of life. They're living as if there is no God. Do you recognize this pattern? Oh, Isaiah speaking of those of his day and time, but do you recognize it? As the wise man said, Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 9, there's nothing new under the sun, so things haven't changed a whole lot. Furthermore, the book of Romans chapter 3, identified in verse 9 that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. And driving that point home, that Jews and Greeks, all men are under sin, lo and behold, Paul quotes these very verses. In Romans 3 verse 16 and verse 17. Destruction, devastation and destruction are in their highways. As Paul said, destruction and misery are in their paths. They do not know the way of peace. As Paul says, the path of peace they have not known. What was true in Isaiah's time, Paul said is true in the first century. And then I refer you to the book of 2 Timothy. Well, Paul says to Timothy, realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Men with lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unliving, unreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, though they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. See, the point is, things don't change a whole lot. What was true in Isaiah's time, Paul identified was true in the first century, and he said these are the traits of the last days in which Timothy was living, in which we are living. Things haven't changed a whole lot. Therefore, you choose these ways. You choose these paths which are crooked, the way of life that is distorted and perverse. And there are unavoidable consequences. That being, do not know the way of peace. And you ask, how could they? When individuals, either back in the Old Testament or in our day, when individuals remove God from their life, their thinking, and their standards, and they live to please themselves, and the most brutish aspects of human nature become apparent, indeed, how could they know the way of peace? Peace, in reality, has been forfeited. And again, it's not because of God's lack of power or lack of willingness. In chapter 59, verse 1 and verse 2, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, so he does not hear. The failure to know peace, even with all the busyness and activity and successes, the failure to know peace is not because of God's lack of power or willingness, but because of the choices that man has made. Because the choice that man has made, because of the path he has chosen, unable to know the way of peace. Indeed, true and lasting and genuine peace has been forfeited. And think then of man's vain efforts. Ramsay MacDonald was the British Prime Minister in the years between First World War and the Second World War, the 1920s. He was talking one time with one of his government officials, and he was thinking, after all the carnage of the First World War, of being able to establish lasting peace. The other fellow was in the Foreign Service. He didn't think much of Ramsay MacDonald's sort of idealistic thinking. He said, look, the desire for peace doesn't achieve peace. MacDonald answered, that's true, but the awareness of hunger doesn't satisfy your need, but being aware of hunger drives you to a restaurant. So the point is, the best of man and the desires for peace will bring about peace. Now what to be? Vain. Then Winston Churchill, speaking of that same time of the war of 1914-18. After that war, a deep conviction, an almost universal hope that peace would reign in the world. This heart's desire of all the peoples could easily have been gained by steadfastness in righteousness convictions and by reasonable common sense and prudence. Unfortunately, reasonable common sense and prudence didn't rule the day. And following the carnage of the First World War, plunged into the Second World War and all the wars from that time on, man's vain efforts. Then we're continually told by politicians of both parties that Islam is the way of peace. President Bush emphasized this, as has President Obama. Islam is the way of peace. Why is it that politicians continually feel the need to emphasize that Islam is the way of peace? Why aren't they emphasizing that Christianity is the way of peace? Because Christians, even in the broadest definition of the term, are not those blowing up things and killing people. They're those of Islam. George Bush, following 9/11, was the one who went to the Islamic Center in Washington, D.C. This is the face of terror, not the face or the faith of Islam. And his counterpart, Blair in Britain, said the very same thing. And then when it is two individuals, Muslims, crying in the name of Allah, hacked a British soldier to death in the streets of London, Cameron said this was a failure of these individuals. It was nothing but Islam that justifies such, and identified also again, Islam is the way of peace. It must become rather embarrassing for them when experience and observation tells us differently. Nothing new. 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Columbus set out to find the new world, the way of trade, spices, the need so desperately with China and India. What motivated him? A number of things. But he sailed in 1492. Previous to that, in 1453, Constantinople fell to the Ottoman Turks. The aggressive spread of Islam cut off the eastern route to India and China. And because of Islam, there's a need to find a new route. Nothing new. It may seem to politicians that ISIS is un-Islamic. It doesn't represent Islam. Well, there are many peaceable and moderate Muslims in our community and worldwide. And they said, ISIS doesn't represent Islam. Well, when you look at the teachings of the Quran, the Hadith, and in the example of Muhammad himself, it would appear that their bloodthirsty ways are a fair interpretation of their Quran. There are at least 109 verses in the Quran that directs the follower of Muhammad to strike the infidel on the neck, to cut off heads, cut off fingers, and kill the infidel wherever they're found. And so when ISIS is shooting individuals, even children lined up on the floor and shooting them all in the head, crucifying individuals, burying women and children alive, and doing so in the name of Islam, the way of peace is being demonstrated. No. It's not the way of peace. Neither is man's attempts superficial religion. Simply being religious is not going to gain peace. Book of Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 4. Do not trust in deceptive words saying, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. In chapter 8 and verse 11, Isaiah says, or God says through Isaiah, through Jeremiah rather, you've healed the brokenness of the daughter of my people only superficially saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. What God required in Jeremiah 5, 7 and verse 5, if you will indeed amend your ways and your deeds and practice justice between a man and his neighbor, do not oppress the alien, the widow, or the orphan. See, what God required was genuine repentance and obedience. If you have religion without genuine repentance and obedience to God, what are you going to find? You're not going to find peace. And again, the way of peace, you will not know. So the question is, can we know the way of peace? First of all, identify what we're talking about. Here in Isaiah chapter 59, the way of peace. The term peace, as is common in the Old Testament, is shalom. The way the Jews will greet each other, shalom. The idea is completeness or soundness. It speaks of one who is in covenant relationship with God. Then in the New Testament, book of Luke chapter 2 and verse 14, for example, as the angelic host addressed the startled shepherds, glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace among men. And that term peace in the Greek is quite beautifully defined by Thayer. This peace is the tranquil state of the soul who is assured of a salvation through Christ. And so, fearing nothing from God, is content with the earthly lot, or whatever sort that may be. Now, you observe the tie-in between the Old and New Testament, between shalom and the tranquil state of a soul assured of salvation through Christ. It's relationship with God. That's the peace we're talking about. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans 5 and verse 1. Romans 5 and verse 1. In Paul states, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified. Or it's commonly defined as being just as if you'd never sinned. It's not an exact translation or an exact definition. The idea of being justified is to be declared to be as one ought to be. Now, as God looks at you, isn't that what you want? God to see you and declare you to be such as you ought to be. How is that accomplished? Justified by faith. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The term through is a three-letter word, dia, which refers to the channel of an act. How are we to have peace with God? By faith, we are as we should be, and we have, through the channel of Jesus Christ, peace. Remember, Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is the, as it were, the conduit. Jesus is the channel by which you come to God, and the channel by which we receive peace from God. Last week, we spent the time in book of Acts, chapter 10. Turn back there to chapter 10 of Acts. Acts chapter 10. And Peter is now in the household of Cornelius. Surprising for Peter where he is. In the household of Gentiles, which he would never have thought about doing, but God has him there in the household of Cornelius. Now he says, I understand. Verse 34. I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. But in every nation, The man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The watch which he sent to the sons of Israel, God sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. The same word through. The message that God was declaring through Jesus Christ was a message of peace. Peace was declared through Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How is that peace to begin? Now keep in mind the context. Book of Isaiah, carried on right through to the present time, men do not know the way of peace because they live as if there is no God. And because of their sins and their iniquities, peace is forfeited. Now God is proclaiming peace through Jesus Christ. Observe the message. In verse 42, he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly testify that this is the one who had been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead, Jesus Christ. Appointed by God as a judge of the living and the dead. In verse 43, of him, Jesus Christ, all the prophets bear witness. Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies. That through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Through Christ, peace with God. Through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. What caused peace to be forfeited? Man's sins and rebellion against God. But you hear the message of peace being known through Jesus Christ. And through Christ, peace is realized. In Jesus Christ, Isaiah 59 is answered. No peace because of sin. In Christ Jesus, the way of peace is made known. Here's a point. Paul identified book of Philippians chapter 4. Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Again, Romans 15 in verse 33. The God of peace be with you all. He said earlier, in the book of Numbers 6 and verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You see, it's a God of peace who gives peace. We who are in Christ, anxious for nothing, everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which is beyond all comprehension, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. The peace of God is known because we have the God of peace. Do you see the connection? We have, through Jesus Christ, the peace of God because we have the God of peace. And because we have obeyed his gospel, justified by faith, you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. All of you who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. To those who believe, what shall we do? They cried, and the answer was, repent. Each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins. Those who obey the gospel gain peace in Jesus Christ. Which that's only part of the picture. That's only part of the answer. Tonight, we want to observe a picture of those who are at peace. Because simply because a person is baptized into Christ does not mean to say they're on the way of peace. Some of you this morning haven't heard a word I have said. I know who you are. You haven't heard a word I've said. You wake up when an invitation song is sung. One can be baptized into Christ and not know the way of peace. And the picture of those who are at peace may be a whole lot different than you realize. Now I know the Cowboys play this afternoon. And some of you laugh. We've had pictures on Facebook of individuals at ball games, football games, baseball games, of happy Christians smiling and laughing at the same time in the church of the assembling here for the worship of God. He says, it's no big deal. I beg you, beg to take issue. It is a big deal. When a Christian has the power of choice and chooses not to be present, that is a big deal. Think about it. Tonight we'll see the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, a picture of those who are at peace. Because you're a Christian, doesn't say you're on the way of peace. And to see a picture of those who are at peace, what should therefore typify us who have gained peace in Jesus Christ? The question we all need to ask ourselves, am I on the way of peace? It's found only in Christ Jesus, having sins washed away. The cry of hopelessness in Isaiah is answered in Christ. Here is the way of peace, in Jesus Christ. Am I in the way of peace? As you face that question, and you see a need, then we invite you to respond to Jesus Christ even this morning. Be baptized into him, or if need be, rededicate your life in service to him. Whatever you need, please come to stand together and sing.